This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. We have a special guest joining us at 9:35. He's got a lot going on to help us out in our Fan 5 Alarm Marathon on June 6th and 7th. So can't wait for that. Going to talk about Mark Caboli's comments about Arthur Smith from yesterday in a few minutes here. But Jason Mackey joined us earlier at 8 o'clock from the Post-Gazette. Former Pirates insider. Now he's a columnist, but he's still tapped in on everything Pirates. He's covering every Pirates game. He's at PNC Park every night, this guy, Jason Mackey. Hey, I'm off the Pirates beat. Sorry, Abby, that's his wife. I'm not going to be able to be home for dinner because I'm covering the Pirates again. But he's really tapped in. He does not think the Pirates are going to be buyers anytime soon. Now, he did not rule out the potential that they could be buyers before the deadline. Here's one move they could make right now that wouldn't cost a single prospect. Because we talked earlier in the show. We give up Tamar Johnson. We give up Anthony Solomato. We give up Bubba Chandler. Go get a first baseman. You don't have to give up a prospect to get a guy. Brandon Belt, two-time World Series champion with the San Francisco Giants. He's still a free agent. Last year, he played 29 games at first base for Toronto. He played 70 games, roughly, as a designated hitter. He hit 19 homers. He hit .254. He had an on-base percentage of .369 and an OPS of .858. Still unsigned, has not retired, wants to play Major League Baseball, felt like he got overlooked this offseason. Throw him a chunk of change. Brandon Belt comes in here, probably goes to extended spring or something, and you work him through the minor league system. He comes up, he's immediately your best option at first base. Connor Joe's never hit 19 homers in a season. Connor Joe had 1 year with an OPS around .850, but it was only in 63 games. Brandon Belt would cost you probably not a ton of money. He's got World Series experience. He's played 13 years in Major League Baseball. He's better than Jake Lamb, big time. And he's way better than Rowdy Tellez. You don't have to give up prospects to get a better first baseman. Just go out and pay this guy. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Well, I mean, if you want a first baseman, why wouldn't you just go bang for your buck? Like, you're not going to just get would you really want to get a guy that's just off the street, like off the couch?
I don't understand why he is off the couch. He was banged up last year. I mean, that might explain it.
I mean, it is what it is. He is on the couch, and you want to pay him some money to try to find his swing and take some time. And, you know, you said Connor Joe hasn't hit 19 home runs. Has he ever had the opportunity day in and day out to hit 19 home runs? I think that you want to find that out first before you make any other moves. And if you do make another move, it would be a legit move at first base and not just a guy that's...
like a Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yes.
Who's
I'm going to get somebody.
Yeah. I think Brandon Belt is kind of... he is a... what's the word I'm looking for here? CT ESPN over here, Crowley.
I don't know where it's a compromise.
Okay. It's a compromise where you would be adding to this roster beyond just going down to AAA and plucking a Jake Lamb. Not just going down to AAA and adding a G1 Bay. Not just saying, oh, let's see what happens with Connor Joe with more consistent at-bats. You would be going outside the organization. You'd be spending money, which they've been loath to do and highly criticized for. And you'd be getting a guy that is a bona fide World Series experienced dude. And so if you're looking to get help outside the organization and you do not want to give up prospects, I think this is the best available option. Now, I have no problem giving prospects. Like, what the hell do I care about Tarmar Johnson? He's 19. He has had a terrible year this year. I think he's still going to wind up being a really good major league player. He's not shown it this year. And when's he going to help you? 2 years?
Right.
So now what? I mean, you're waiting around for 2 years with Skeens, with Jones, with Keller. These guys are ticking time bombs. Someone's going to get hurt. You hate to say it, that's just the reality. You gotta make a play right now to get better and to score runs. Because if you score runs, you can get in. And if you get in, my God, this is what I can't get past. If you get in, you've got Mitch Keller, you've got Paul Skeens, and you've got Jared Jones. This team is in a position where without adding to this roster, if the playoffs started today and they were in, they could win some playoff series based on that rotation. You gotta get in. And so I don't want to sit around. There's 70-ish days before the deadline. I don't want to sit around and lose 2-3 or 3-2 games and 2-1 games and 1-0 games. And we're wondering at the deadline, oh, what could have been? Because it's too little too late. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. But do you think one player is going to fix that problem?
I don't think they need to score that much.
But is one player going to do that?
I think the trickle-down effect could be big.
Would you rather rely on everybody being average hitters?
Well, that needs to happen, too.
Because if you have that thought process, if we just hit average with our lineup, what's the point of even paying somebody off the street or even paying somebody training for somebody?
It's well said. I'll tell you why I'm still getting a guy. Because we assumed that everyone would live up to their expectations coming into the year, and we still thought they probably needed a first baseman. Like, if Key Brian Hayes was the guy he was in the last 2 months last year, and Brian Reynolds was more online with his career average, and I mean, name a guy. Andrew McCutchen's closer to what he was last year. If all those guys merely did what was expected, no more, no less, I think we all still said they need one more bat in this lineup. It's why I wanted them to sign Rhys Hoskins or name first baseman here, Carlos Santana. Like, they needed a first baseman even coming in. Like, I didn't mind the platoon idea, but we never thought that it would be a great situation. I mean, pie in the sky, best case scenario is you go out and you get a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I just don't think that that's really realistic for them. I don't know that they want to part from prospects. Mackey said he doesn't think that they want to either at this point. So if you're not going to do that, my compromise, there's the word, is it's just money. And it's not a lot of money. Brandon Belt hit last year. See what he's got left in the tank. Because Jake Lamb would be an improvement right now, but what's he going to be? He's going to turn into Jake Lamb eventually. Eventually, we're going to be treating Jake Lamb like he's Rowdy Tellez. Mm-hmm. You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain. We all know how this goes. Mm-hmm. Jake Lamb comes up, maybe he's good for a little bit, and then he turns into Jake Lamb. You need a guy. And I think Brandon Belt would be that guy for me.
Connor Joe?
He at least needs to play every day in the interim. Right. That much I'll agree with.
Oh, yeah, he will. I mean, I don't think they have a choice.
And I don't know that I mentioned it in this segment. Mackey did tell us earlier he does not think Rowdy Tellez will be on the roster come 6:40 tonight, which I think Pirates fans will celebrate that. Not a fan favorite for a couple of different reasons. But I also think there's room for criticizing them, too. Like, why did they hang on to him for so long? The speculation we had last week, it might have been Jason that we were talking to, it might have been Neil, said that they probably wanted to see if Rowdy Tellez could find his stroke back in Milwaukee where he was good 2 years ago. Well, then that came and passed, and they had him in the lineup on Sunday against the Cubs, where he went 0-for-4 and grounded into 2 double plays. So, okay, it'll be, I think, welcomed by Pirates fans, but should have happened like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
If not before that. 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on Brandon Belt, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Josh Bell, Pete Alonso, JD Martinez, any of these guys, would you be interested in the Pirates bringing them in, and would you give up big-time prospects to get those guys in here? You could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. When we come back, Mark Caboli on the Steelers offensive coordinator. It is day one of OTAs. What did Mark say about the OC? And what do we say about what he said? CTE again. I don't know what I'm doing here. You can join Joe Starkey and Paul Zeiss, by the way, tomorrow at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union on Brandt School Road in Wexford from 10 o'clock until 2. This will be, everyone pay attention here, your first chance to get a Fan 5-Alarm Marathon t-shirt with a $20 donation. T-shirts are available while supplies last.
I like to really look and observe interactions between the players and see how this offense really just gravitates or not to Russell Wilson, just see that dynamic. And also Arthur Smith, you know, see if you, is there anything really noticeable with the offense? Obviously there's going to be something. It's early in training camp, so they're obviously not going to be installing everything. Everything I've heard, and I talked to somebody the other day that told me they are absolutely excited about what you're going to see from Arthur Smith's offense. They're like, you're going to be very, very happy with what you see. So right there, it makes me a little, piques my interest a little bit right there to see how much of a difference it is.
You can text us 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Really special guest coming up in 15 minutes here, a guy who's going to help us with our Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. That's June 6th and 7th outside the Green Tree VFD. Before we react to Mark Caboli's comments there, Doran, we have breaking Steelers news.
Uh-oh.
Don't you love when that happens to us?
Is it good?
It's actually very good. Steelers announced their final preseason game against the Lions will kick off at 1 p.m. on Saturday, August 24th. It had been flexible date and time. 1 p.m. final preseason game.
Are you kidding me?
It's true. It's breaking. Just came out. Ray Fittipaldo, Alan Saunders, the Steelers put up a graphic. Yeah. Final preseason game, 1 p.m. Should play every preseason game at 1, far as I'm concerned.
Why?
Because those things last until 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then,
Do you ever watch the last preseason game, though?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yes.
You watch it, well, whenever I was 4.
It's my job.
You don't watch
it. Of course I do.
Game.
I got to break down chapter and verse how Zamir Cobb is going to torch the Lions' defense.
I remember one year, my second year in Buffalo, I played every single snap of offense and every single snap of special teams, and I thought about my life after that game. Like, I was like, what am I doing?
What am I doing with myself?
I played every snap of defense.
And that's really...
And I got cut.
That's not a good sign, generally.
I got cut.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah, that's never good.
This is horrible.
You don't want to be the guy who's playing all the preseason finale snaps.
No. Nah.
Now, the one guy it worked out well for, and still to this day, is Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs earned it, baby. And I think Stephon Logan had a kickoff return against Detroit in a preseason finale. It might not have been the finale, and then that got him his job. So it can work out that way. We don't really need to spend a lot of time on the preseason games here, though, I don't think.
PTSD for me.
While I say I watch it for my job, one thing I'm not going to do this year is the Kenny Pickett thing. Like, I don't care if Russell Wilson plays the best three preseason games anyone has ever played. I'm not going to say I'm not going to adjust my Steelers win-loss record based on preseason performance.
I'm going to hold you to that because I know how you get. You'll start to get into your feels just like you do with the Pirates, just like you did yesterday. Pirates are making the playoffs.
They're back.
They're back. You're going to do it. I know you. I know there's going to be one time throughout August where you're going to be like, you know what? You're going to sit there and you're going to rub your chin. And you're like, you know what? Your lips are going to quiver.
How about this?
I think that they're going to go platoon at quarterback.
They're not going to do that. They might have Justin Fields return kicks. A little bit.
You better hope not.
I better hope not. I got a couple of bets out there right now.
Yep.
If Justin Fields takes a single snap on a kickoff return team, I have to go to a pit practice, full contact, full pads, and I have to return a punt.
Yes.
So that's not good. As for the Pirates, if they make the playoffs, Pony has to walk across the Clemente Bridge in a thong. If they don't make the playoffs, I have to do it.
Huh. Why do you do?
I don't know. He painted me into a corner, man. You know how he gets. And he gets me every time.
No, you do it to yourself.
That's true. So those are the two outstanding bets that are out there for me right now. As for Caboli's comments, bouncing into the segment, Caboli says, and get this, this is as surprising as, the Steelers changed the week 3 preseason game to 1 o'clock. The Steelers, get this, really excited about Arthur Smith and his offense. Of course they are! Matt Canada was the old OC. And then after Canada, you had two guys calling plays. You had two offensive coordinators. So to have an adult in the room is a big deal. But my question for you, Doran, what is the bigger offseason addition for the Steelers? Arthur Smith, Russell Wilson?
It's tough because it goes such hand in hand, and we talked about this a little bit throughout the show, but Jeff we had on earlier, and he said Arthur Smith, right? I'm going to lean into Arthur Smith.
What?
Just because of George Pickens, and just because of Pat Freiermuth, and because of Najee.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Harris, and because of Jalen Warner, and because of the offensive line. I'm going to lean into Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, by trade, when he first came into the league as a coach, was an offensive line guy. Then he transitioned to a tight end guy. Then he was an OC. So he has covered the gamut of the positions on offense, and then he was a head coach. So he has the resume of putting all this together. And I think a lot of players that need to benefit from a good quality offense and offensive coordinator will get that with Arthur Smith. They will get that. Pat Freiermuth is going to benefit. Najee Harris, if you're Najee Harris and you click on the 2019 film and you see Derrick Henry, one of your brothers from Alabama, rush for 2,000 plus yards, you're like, this could be me. He's going to benefit. Jalen Warren's going to benefit because of his explosiveness. And George Pickens is like, all right, well, where does this leave me? I'm the number one receiver. They drafted a guy. I'm going to be the man. Can they make me the man? Can conceptually I get myself open, and will I not have to wonder what the offense is? And I think that if I'm leaning into a direction, it's more about the offense than just the quarterback as I sit here right now.
I understand everything you're saying, and I respect your opinion, and I respect Jeff Hathorn's opinion, but I think about the offense with Mason Rudolph last year, and it was bad conceptually, even when Canada got out. And there's a flow to play calling. We've talked about this. And understanding the why is so important. And I think it helped everyone around Mason Rudolph be better. He put the ball where it needed to go. And they scored 30 points in two of those games. And they were, 10 minutes left against Buffalo, down by one touchdown. I think a good quarterback can even make a bad schemer look good. And so I am all in on the Russell Wilson Express. And if he goes off in preseason, I'm bumping the Steelers win total up two games. I'm doing it.
I do find it very interesting, and I actually really commend this, is that both of the two offensive coordinators after Canada got fired are still on the staff.
That's true, too.
I like that a lot because they earned that.
You need continuity.
They legitimately earned it.
They did earn it.
Yeah.
They did.
And Faulkner is a really good running back coach, and they're going back to roles that fit them very well, just like Arthur Smith is. He's going back to his normal role. You know, Sullivan's going to be that senior advisor, which is needed, and he's going to have all eyes everywhere. And Faulkner's a running back coach, and they earned that by them platooning the play calling last year.
Well, and Sullivan got a couple of interviews for for offensive coordinator roles this offseason. I do think it makes things easier than if you just clean house totally. Like, if it was Canada and the entire staff, that makes it even harder to get on that moving train, as Mike Tomlin would say. But now you got a couple of guys from the staff still held
Meyer
over.
Pat Meyer
as well. Like, that's going to help. You needed an adult in the room, and they got that in Arthur Smith. And then you need somebody who understands the why of calling plays. I'm not calling plays just to call plays. I am calling plays because, there's a rhyme and reason to it. So, we're really parsing. Here's the good thing. They got both. They got a new quarterback, two of them, and they got a new offensive coordinator. And if the offense is bad this year, we blame Tomlin.
Yes.
Yeah. And Art Rooney II will probably take some of it as well. Fires, they show no discrimination, Doran. Anyone can be affected by a fire. 95% of fire departments in Pennsylvania are volunteer. They're comprised of men and women who sacrifice for zero compensation. That's why we're hosting the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. You can get us started now by going to 937thefan.com and making a tax-deductible donation to benefit these volunteer firefighters. The Fan 5 Alarm Marathon is powered by Bowser Chevrolet and brought to you by Metropolitan Window Company, True Green, and Julian Gray Associates. We got a world-famous dude. He's in studio with us right now. We're going to talk to him about his role in the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon coming up next. I had another low light on today's show, so that's probably going to be biggest loser of the day. Social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. But we are joined in studio right now by a winner, by a good man, a world-famous artist, our buddy Tom Mosser. And Tom is going to help us out for the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. We've been looking for someone, and this is the minor part of this, we've been looking for someone to do the art for our CD in 2024 that we're going to be selling at the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon. You're going to make donations, you'll get a CD, and all the proceeds will go to local volunteer fire departments. But Tom, what else you got going on to help us out? And thank you so much for doing everything you're doing and for coming on with us.
Well, there's a lot going on, but can we talk about Paul Skeens just for...
You want to talk about Paul Skeens? All right. You're going to have to talk into the microphone about all Paul right. Skeens, though. There you go.
There you go. I think all of our testosterone levels have gone up exponentially since he's pitching. And what's the sponsor of the company? The men?
Oh, my mentality.
Mentality. They have. I heard that they have monitors installed in all their exam rooms now, and they just loop highlights of him throwing asteroids, striking dudes out. So it's like, Mr. Mosser, could you please go into exam room one? And I go, all right, I'll go. You watch those highlights. I come out like, give me meat, Mara, give me a hug. I just watched Paul Skeens.
It actually happened to Joe Block the other day.
I've seen that. They've seen
I
me.
Did hear that. What a man!
Yeah, that's
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 100 miles an hour. 11 strikeouts for Skeens. 6 innings of no-hit baseball in his first career start on the road. What a man!
The what a man gets me every
what
time.
What a man!
What like, a man!
Like a cartoon with the eyeballs coming out. Oh, God. Like getting catcalled, walking down the street.
I think his lung fell out.
Right.
Yeah, Greg Brown, that would have just been a walk in the park, regular call for him. But yeah. Joe Block, we have never heard that level of arousal from him.
Yeah. I was confused. I was like, wait, was it Brown? Was it Block? I couldn't remember because I never heard that.
It was all jacked up. And then you had Kevin Young, who was like, well, and, what a man, he's yours. Just lay out, KY.
Greg Brown used to do the Pirates when I worked for them. They'd have an annual Christmas party and they had skits and stuff. And Greg Brown would do this imitation of the old general manager, Sid Thrift. You never saw him. They just had a big desk chair backwards facing the back.
Kind of like Seinfeld with Steinbrenner.
Right. He's a funny dude. And he lets it out from time to in the past 6 years. He finally let it out. And Greg's a really funny guy.
Oh, that's
great
too good.
Guy. He's a great guy.
Greg Brown is a good guy.
He was substituted me as the Pirate Parrot on appearances way back.
He would be the parrot?
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would spot duty, you know, because, you know, I needed the...
He wasn't the one that was selling the drugs, though.
No.
Yeah.
That was...
different
that was
parrot.
K-O-C-H, yeah.
And that wasn't you. You were the pirate parrot for...
I got in trouble for drinking too much coffee. I think that's about... Can I tell this story?
You can tell the story.
Yeah. So there was that cocaine issue back in the 80s or whatever, and so the previous parrot was involved in that, and the people would scream out at parades. There was one in Morgantown. Hey, parrot, you still doing coke? And so, you know, I'm a mime, and there's this white line in the middle of the street. So I'm going down, thinking like, oh, that was great. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what a way to get fired. But there's no cell phone pictures.
You did not get fired as the parrot, though. You just retired from mascotdom.
I got suspended for a couple games because I threw a Nerf ball at an umpire and hit him in the tush. And I didn't realize that. I didn't realize he made a bad call the inning before, and Andy Van Slyke was called out when he should have been safe, and they thought I was coming after him, but he was a pre-planned skit, and he forgot about it because he was so wigged out.
Oh,
so this wet Nerf ball hit him right in the tush, and it was a good throw, man. And it was on the front. So I had 2 days later, I had to come back. So how do you come back? I you have this wild field wall. I made a jailbird outfit out of stripes out of a bed sheet and a hat
unbelievable.
With a ball and chain, and I climbed over the wall at the fifth inning, And right when I did it, like, I hit my nether regions right on the top of the wall, and you see me dangling in the front page of the Post-Gazette. I had just thought, there's no Father's Day happening. Ow. What am I doing with my life? I'm a college degree. Look what I'm doing for the true story.
And
I
that
can't
was
get
that.
Fired anymore. From,
no, you can't because no. you are a self-made man. Tom Mosser joining us here, an artist. Who has done a lot of stuff. He did one of my daughter Fiona as a gift, which was super nice that we have in our living room right now.
A beautiful little girl.
Oh, thank you very much. What is the plan for you now with the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon? Because you got a nice piece of artwork right behind me here. I'll move aside here on YouTube.
So this is a painting, an embellished canvas print of Hines' word from the Seahawks Super Bowl, his Antoine Randall touchdown. And it's something I did for the Dapper Dan Sports Person of the Year Banquet in 2013. It's something I can't sell. So my printer at Pittsburgh Printship, they donated the print of this beautiful canvas. I painted on it a bit, so it's called an embellished print. It's something artists, they do all kinds of printing at Pittsburgh Printship, but they're really good with fine art stuff. But like, say your child, I know you have a budding artist in your family. They do, say if she does a little abstract, like 10 inches by 10 inches, you scan it or photograph it. It can be enlarged 56 inches wide on canvas and mounted, and she can continue painting on that.
So you paint right on top of it.
And like adult artists can do the too. It's a way of, say, somebody can't afford a $5,000 3-foot by 4-6 painting of Hines Ward, but they can afford a $1,000 3-foot by 4-6 embellished canvas print, and everybody benefits. It's just the way to go as an artist. And Pittsburgh Printship, they deliver art to all over the country, but they're right in Sharpsburg, and they ship for free. So
this will be there, and
it's going to be an auction. Whatever you guys want to do with it, to auction it off,
fantastic,
for raise money,
help volunteer firefighters.
That's awesome,
which is super cool. And you'll be doing the CD art for the Nicholas Harry Callis diss track.
I'll make you guys look good. I think caricatures. I'll be taking your
perfect. We're gonna dress up as firemen right after the show here. Yeah. Put on the hat. Shoot. Put on all the gear.
Yep.
Do a little photo shoot.
Capture your beauty.
Well, this is awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, and if you're a Steelers fan, I mean, it's the famous picture of Hines Ward. Like, you can get Hines with the smile, right? He was always smiling, even if he's taking a headshot. But this is the one where he's skipping into the end zone after catching the touchdown from Antoine Randall in Super Bowl 40.
Were you drawing whenever you were the parent? Like, when did you figure out? I think I asked you this before, but when did you figure out that you had this skill, had this talent?
It's like, I remember in kindergarten, kids hanging out by me when I was finger painting. You know, finger painting, I still meant, oh, Tom's really good. And my parents were like community theater people, and they just kind of encouraged it. They said, we don't know what you're going to do as an artist. But went to Penn State, I was a fine arts major, but I did a lot of sports stuff. So I was doing work for the sports information office at Penn State, football covers for the media guy covers, which was amazing in college. And I did work for the Daily Collegian all 4 years. So when I was the parrot, I had a studio in the, it's called the Stroh's Building. It's the big clock building by the Birmingham Bridge. So back in those days, if you wanted to get eyeballs on your work, it was tough. You had to like make prints, put them in envelopes with letters and make phone calls. And you got these art directors for magazines or galleries are all ADD and they're not paying attention. So it's a whole different world. It was
now
tough,
you got social media.
Yeah. I had a job offer. I think I talked about it. I had a job offer with a Sporting News magazine, which was a dream job. Sporting News and Sports Illustrated were the magazines back in the day. And I was moving to St. Louis and my sister said, hey, Tom, there's an ad for Pirate Parrot tryouts. You should do this. And I think they didn't want me to leave. So
so the rest is history there with the parrot.
My mom would be at a game. That's my son. He's the parrot. And I'd bring her onto the dugout for dance routines, man.
You know, I do that too. I say that's my brother right there in the parrot outfit. No one knows I don't have a brother. It's a costume.
That was in the day when, you know, you could trash that field. It was that awful AstroTurf and the dugout that wrapped around like a big U shape. I brought in hip hop dancers. I was the first guy to play rap music at Three River Stadium, any stadium. It was Poison, dun, 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 Poison. And I bring in country dancers. You know, I was an entertainer.
Yes.
But I could trash that field with the four wheeler. And the guys would place bets. I found out later if I can make Bonds flinch when I would zoom
did
by
you?
On the foot. I did. Yeah. He was a good guy. I just, behind the scenes, I would say to him, he's a good guy and sometimes, why don't you just be nice in public? I know you're a jerk behind the scenes. And he said, I don't care. He could have won. He could have made so much money in endorsements if he would just like faked it and been sort of civil. But he worked hard. I had full access to all those guys in the behind. He worked really, really hard.
Sometimes aided with things. Allegedly.
Yeah,
allegedly. Yeah.
Eventually.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate everything you're doing for us, buddy.
You're welcome.
And we're going to take some photos after this. But FAM 5 Alarm Marathon, June 6th and 7th, you have an opportunity to bid on this wonderful picture here. And all the proceeds will go to the FAM 5 Alarm Marathon.
If I did a rendering of Doran, would you sign it for the auction?
Absolutely.
All right. You had that weird shield thing. I'll do it, though. I'll whip it up.
Yeah,
I did.
Nice.
I didn't have time for it today. But
He didn't ask me because I look like me.
Yeah.
Is what happened there.
Do you have a picture of you throwing a first pitch from the other day or something?
All right. Thank you, Tom. Really appreciate the time, buddy.
Wait, do you have a picture of you in high school doing the coxswain thing, right, competing against all those girls.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Callis. Everyone just piling on Crowley now. I'll pile on myself some more coming up next. Pretty funny blooper from earlier in today's show when I couldn't get out of my own way. But what else is new? Tom, thank you, buddy.
Welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks,
really
guys.
Appreciate it. Tom Mosser. When we come back, I make fun of myself. They want to go back into games. They're going to have the medical staffs are going to get criticized. The coaching staffs are going to get criticized. The players, in some cases, get criticized. Why would you go back in? I can't blame a guy like Ryan's. What's his name?
Oh, man. Oh, jeez.
Now I've lost it. What is
just,
what's his first name?
Robert.
Oh.
Oh, man.
And I didn't play a down of football in my life.
Right. What?
The C in CTE stands for Crowley. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years into South Hills. That was me. Not knowing Robert Spillane's name was Robert. So I am the biggest loser of the day, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. We have breaking Pirates news, Dorenson.
What do we got?
According to Noah Hiles, off the pit beat, now a Pirates beat writer, source, the Pirates are calling up Jiwon Bae from AAA Indianapolis. The 24-year-old hit .367 in 27 games with Indianapolis this season.
Nice.
Let's
there
we go.
There you go.
And you know the way Derek Shelton operates. He'll be in the lineup tonight.
Yes, he will.
And he'll be running. And they need that. They haven't had enough on the base pass this year. Like last year, lest we forget, they got off to that 20-8 start last year. Part of it was the new rules, and the Pirates were running wild. And Jiwon Bae was a big part of that. And if you're not scoring a bunch of runs, can you manufacture runs? Can you take an extra base here and there? Can you turn a double into a triple? Can you turn a single into a double? Can you steal bags? He's going to help out with all that. What we don't know yet, although we can guess, what's the corresponding move? Someone got to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could send down Alika Williams. You could send down Jared Triolo, but he's got the position flexibility and he's playing third base for you right now. So that wouldn't make any sense. So deductive reasoning says, Rowdy Tellez, DFA, get out of here. Boo! Is that nice?
No.
But should I do it anyway?
Yes.
Boo! Good riddance. Don't let the door hit you on the backside. Now, you hate to be so cruel, but he got to tell us who we can and can't boo, and he's got a 485 OPS. Get the heck out of here, man. Losing us baseball games. Four at-bats on Sunday. 0-for-4. Grounds into two double plays. Leaves two guys in scoring position on a strikeout in the eighth inning. Good riddance. That's our speculation, but we do not know. Jason Mackey said earlier in the show he does not think Rowdy Tellez will be a Pirate come this evening. So connecting dots, Jiwon Bae up, Rowdy Tellez likely DFA'd.
Yep.
And with that, we go on to a wonderful Tuesday. What day is it?
Oh, my goodness.
We go into a wonderful Wednesday. We got Doug Whaley.
What a perfect way to end the show.
Jeez, Bangren again. We got Doug Whaley tomorrow, 9 until 10, live from Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. John Wayne are going to join us. Pirates start their series against San Francisco tonight. Coming up next, you got Joe Starkey and Paul Zeiss right now. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring into adventure. Great incentives through May 31st on the 2024 Trailblazer and Equinox. SunChevy.com. Today, high 85.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.